It's great to see all you guys this morning. Did everybody enjoy their extra hour of sleep today? Very good. It's always nice to get it back. In just a minute, we're going to talk about what's up with people. But before we do, let me tell you about this. Next Sunday, we're going to be baptizing. Okay. Behind these panels right here, behind the screen right here, there's a baptistry, and we're going to be baptizing in the service next Sunday. And so if you have accepted Christ as Savior and you want to be baptized next Sunday, I want you to grab a response card from the pew right there in front of you and write your name and your email address or your phone number on the front, and then flip over the back and check the box that says baptism, or just write baptism on the back of your card. And I'll contact you this week with all the details, all the information that you need to know about baptism. All right, so if you would like to be baptized next Sunday, please give us your information. I'll contact you this week, and we'll be ready to roll next week. You know, one of the things that's true about people, about human beings, is that when we live apart from a relationship with God, we just tear each other up. When people live without God and separated from God, they just cannot help themselves. When we live apart from God, we hurt people. We shred and destroy our relationships. But as we learn to stay connected to God, He leads us on a new path. As we get connected to God and stay connected to God, He teaches us how to live in our relational world. He teaches us how we should be in relationships. God came to the prophet Jeremiah and He gave him this message. And the message was for the children of Israel, but I believe that this truth, this principle, applies to our lives as well. Check it out, Jeremiah 18:1. It says, "The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah, and He said, 'Go down to the potter's shop, and I will speak to you there.' So I did as He told me and found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped, and so he crushed it into a lump of clay and started over. And then the Lord gave me this message, 'O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to his clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand.'" You see, God wants to take the torn pieces of our lives and our relationships, and He wants to rework them, reform them, and make them new. And as we are willing to place our lives and our relationships in His hand, He reclaims and reforms and reconciles our relationships. He takes them and He literally forms them into something new. Now, this will be one of God's primary objectives as we stay connected to Him. Spiritual growth is all about relationships. It's about learning to love God and learning to love people. And that's why we're doing this 60-60 experiment. We learn to love God and we demonstrate love for God when we respond to His involvement in our lives. And as we willingly respond to His will throughout the day, He changes us, He molds us, He makes us new. Now, as we talked about last week, we cannot really love God until we learn to love other people. And we're not just talking about the people in our lives that we love to love. We're not just talking about the people in our lives that are easy to love. We're talking about the people around us that we would love to hate. We're talking about the difficult people to love. Do you have any difficult to love people in your life right now? We probably all do. Now, we're not talking about the hard to love people like Republicans or Democrats. By the way, we're probably about 50-50 in here, just in case you're wondering. We need to be nice to each other. Aren't you glad that we don't have another national election for 2 years? I am so tired of Barbara and Carly and Meg and Jerry hate each other on TV. I'm just tired of it. And we're not talking about Republicans and Democrats. We're not talking about the people who cut you off in the 405 or the people who jam you and take your parking spot at Costco. We're probably talking about the people that you're related to. We're talking about the people that you work with. Maybe the people that you're in small group with. The people that you live next door to. We're talking about people that you will see tomorrow or next week or maybe 18 days from now on Thanksgiving. Some of you are already feeling uneasy about Thanksgiving. Some of you are feeling a little unsettled in your gut. Some of you may even feel a bit queasy. And you feel that way because you're facing some difficult relational situations. Well, I don't want you to feel that way. I don't want you to feel overwhelmed as you think about some of your difficult relationships. And here's the truth. We have to do this relationship thing, but we can't do this relationship thing alone. And that's why we're learning to respond to God. We can't do difficult relationships on our own. In fact, we can't even do the good relationships well on our own. And that's why we're learning to be connected and stay connected to God. That's why we're learning to hear and respond to the God promptings that we hear throughout our day. Because God wants to guide us and He wants to teach us how to love with a higher love. And that's what the world and the people around us really need. We cannot love with a higher love on our own power. We need God's help. And that's what we're learning to do in this 60-60 experiment, in this 60-day experiment. Now, here's what is awesome. This experiment is about where we really live. Now, for some of you, this has been discouraging on some level because some people in your life are not responding to this exercise the same way that you are. Some of you are upset because somebody in your group or maybe your running partner is not taking this as seriously as you. Some of you even resent somebody because of the way that they're responding. That is awesome. Because that's real life. And that's how we learn to respond in love. This is where we live. This is where we really live. Now, we want to be loving people. But so often, we fail to love the ones we love the most. So I want you to know that this higher love is doable. And it's practical. It is what we want. It's what we and the people around us need most. But we have to listen. We have to listen for those God promptings. Here's what I'm discovering as I'm starting to hear some of your stories. For some of you, God is prompting you to minister to serve the most least likely people in your lives. It's a beautiful thing. We have to listen to the promptings. See, Jesus gives us the secret to loving like this. It's the night before His crucifixion, and He says this in John 15. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. So remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in His love. And I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. And this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. And there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And the next day, Jesus would demonstrate how great His love is. And here's what we must understand. Love is a verb. Love is a verb. Love gives, love serves, love sacrifices. Love is not an emotion. It is action. And the power to act comes from God. And when we act in God's love, the feelings will follow. You see, we respond to God, and none of it depends on the other person. And this is critical to understand. It is our choice. We choose to love. God will lead us to this higher love, but the secret is what Jesus said. As the Father has loved me, that's how I love you. And so now, remain, soak, bathe in my love moment by moment and day by day. Moment by moment, remain in my love. Moment by moment, exist in that love. You see, we don't have it to give. We don't have the ability in our own desires, in our own flesh, we don't have the ability to sacrificially love others because too much has been taken from us. Because we need too much. And too often we give love in order to get love. And there's a price tag attached to our love. And we get upset when people don't give back to us. And we get angry and resentful because something has been taken from us. And so we have to let God give it to us. See, the problem with our world is that we stay disconnected from the source of love. We have been trained our entire lives to ignore God all day, to ignore the source of love. We stay disconnected from the source of love, Jesus Christ, all day, every day. We've been trained to do so. You see, we are not the source of love. Only the love of God is strong enough and secure enough that it doesn't need anything. The love of God does not need to take from others in order to have something to give. It doesn't need to protect itself or remain safely unattached to be secure. It doesn't need to retaliate against its enemies because it's afraid of what it might lose, because nothing's ever been taken from it. And when we begin to experience the love of God, we realize that we don't have to be afraid, because our value, our security, our worth comes from God, who says that He will never leave, never harm, never withdraw His great love from us. And when we understand that, finally, we have something to offer. We have something to give because we're not afraid of what we might lose. We can be secure in God's love. And as we learn to remain in God's love, He begins to lead us to love in new ways. God leads us to love even our neighbors, even our coworkers, even the hard to love that are around us. And what God wants to do is move us away from protecting our lump of clay where we never trust and we never love again. He wants to move us to a place where we can offer it to Him. And He even begins to lead us to pick up our relational pieces where we've lost our trust or our identity or our security. And we offer them to Him and we give them to Him, and He begins to form something new out of that clay. And I'm telling you, you cannot make that happen on your own. You must stay connected, willing, and responsive to God throughout the day. You must stay responsive relationally throughout the day. Now, let's talk practically for a moment about the 60-60 experiment. And let me see if I could coach you up just a little bit. We're coming up on the halfway point, and you should have read like through chapter 9 by the end of this week. And I know we're all at different places in our reading, and that's fine. But let me say this. You've invested $7 in the book. Monetarily, you're only into this book for a little more than a Starbucks. You spent a lot more in the form of commitment to read it. And so I want to encourage you again to read. And if you read, you will better understand the experiment, and you will have the motivation to keep going when things get difficult. And I know that some of you are struggling, and you're feeling more like a failure in this than you're feeling encouraged in this. Let me say this. If you're feeling beat up or discouraged by this experiment because you're not doing it perfectly or you're annoyed by the alarms or whatever, I want you to know that you're not seeing this right. And I want you to think about it this way. If 1 month ago you were not aware of God and you did not give God a second thought and you responded to God zero times a day, and now, during just one of the 11 or 12 beeps a day, if just once you give God a second thought and you're aware of God and you respond to Him, that is a 100% increase in your awareness and your responsiveness to God. Just once a day for some of us is a 100% improvement. And you should celebrate that. The point of this experiment is not perfection. The point of the experiment is progress. If before you were responding to God zero times and now you're responding one time, celebrate that. Don't get down on yourself and then keep trying to connect more and more. Folks, listen, the key is that we must remain in His love. We're not to remain in our failures, even if we think we're failing at this experiment. We are to remain in His love. Remain in His love. If you feel beat up by this, you're not doing it right. So this week, as the beep goes off, I want you to think about remaining in His love. Just focus on that one thing. Focus on remaining in Jesus' love. Now, there's some important factors that help me and will help you. First of all, you have to know how God feels about you. If you're going to be successful in remaining in Jesus' love, you have to know how God feels about you. And again, here is some scripture to read and think about. John chapters 13 through 17. All right? You can also go to Romans chapter 8. If you struggle with being aware of how God feels about you, read Romans chapter 8 over and over again. Read Romans chapter 8, and then with every beep, with every alarm, think about the fact that you are not condemned because of Christ. Think about the truth that God wants to lead you and guide you and remove your fear. Read Romans chapter 8 and understand that God has adopted you as His own son, as His own daughter, and that you will inherit everything that He has. Think about those things the next time your alarm sounds. Think about those things the next time you feel insecure. One day, you will inherit all that God possesses. You will read that all of the pain and all the difficulty that we endure will pale in comparison to what we will experience in eternity. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes that God is for us, not against us, so nobody can judge us. And in Romans chapter 8, he tells us that there's not anything, not one thing, not anything that we can see, feel, hear, even know about. There's not anything that can separate us from His love. That's what Romans 8 says about what God feels about us. With every alarm, take those truths and think about them and be thankful and be grateful. And that's another way to be encouraged. Be thankful. Be thankful and grateful for what God says about you. Be thankful and grateful for what God feels about you. And respond with gratitude. When the alarm goes off, give praise to God for what He's done for you. And here's one more factor that will help. Respond even when you don't feel like it. Respond when you don't feel like it. Love when you don't feel like it. Do the loving thing even when you don't feel like it. And here's what will happen. When we learn to respond when the alarm goes off, and we learn to respond even when we don't feel like it, we begin to respond to other promptings of God as well. Here's what's happening in my life, all right? Full disclosure, complete confession. I can get very frustrated and aggravated. I can get frustrated and aggravated over little things, and then those attitudes can hang with me. They can really stay with me. And let me just give you this example. Sometimes the littlest things that happen up here on stage with the music can just frustrate and irritate me, annoy me to no end. And the band members would tell you that this has been a struggle for me. And I'm working hard at responding appropriately to God's promptings when I'm up here singing with these great folks that give their talent to God. And I'm getting better. I'm getting better. And I have to tell you that one of the things that I had to respond to was just a band member calling me just straight out on it. Dude, you're messed up. It was like the best day of my life. It changed everything for me. And I want you to understand, these aren't like big things that set me off. They're just little things. They're little things. And I'm trying to learn to respond to God's promptings. And here's what's happening. God is using those times to speak to me. I'm becoming aware of God's presence, not just when the alarm goes off now, but even when I'm frustrated and upset, even when I'm aggravated. That is a pattern in my life. You see, frustration and irritation creeps in, and my phone doesn't go off. My alarm doesn't go off. But I'm becoming aware of God's presence. And so I pray. I pray right there. I try to respond to God's prompting right then. And slowly, God moves my attitude from frustration and aggravation to love and gratitude. Now, I don't always respond appropriately. I don't always get it. And trust me, music is just one little tiny tip of the iceberg for me. And here's the point. God is not waiting for the alarm to speak to me. He's speaking to me throughout my day, and I'm becoming more and more aware of His presence. And folks, you see, this is a moment-by-moment choice. And when we don't feel it, we have to be willing to let God work on our attitude. And then the feelings will follow. God wants to lead us and guide us in every relationship and in every opportunity. God does not just want to lead us when our alarm goes off. God wants to lead us and guide us every time that we look into another person's eyes. But to be led this way requires experience and practice. So how does this work? What does it look like? How do you allow God to lead you when you're talking with another person? Well, you know how when you're talking with another person, sometimes you stop and listen? I know, some of you should really try it sometime. When you're talking to another person, just stop and listen. And while you're listening, ask God, what do you want me to hear? As they're speaking, ask God, God, what do you want me to care about? What do you want me to see? And if you'll do that, you watch and see if God doesn't lead you. Now, I get it. It's not always easy. It's not that easy. Sometimes it's during a high-pressure work environment. Sometimes it's during an argument. And our pride is welling up, and we don't want to give in. We don't want to say that we're sorry. And even if our alarm was to go off in that moment, it would not be enough. I mean, we need a shock collar or something. And in those moments, we have to cry out and say, God, help me because I can't. I can't help myself. I can't do this. I don't know how to love them. But I'll do it for you. I will do it because I love you. I can't love them, God. And I'm telling you that if you're willing, God will turn it. As you're willing, watch how God will turn it. God's love and our gratitude and willingness, even when we don't feel like it, will allow us to remain in His love. Folks, God wants us to become loving people. He wants to give us the courage to turn around and pick up the pieces of our relationships. And He wants to shape them and mold them into something supernatural. And that's what Jesus meant in Matthew 5 when He said, "You've heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And in that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For He gives His sunlight to both the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. And if you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. And if you're kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And we say, impossible. I can't be perfect. It is possible. Yeah, it's impossible on our own. This is not possible in our own natural ways. But see, God wants to do something supernatural in us and through us. And that's what we have to understand. God wants to piece it back together. God wants to piece us back together. And God wants us to be perfect. And please understand, we cannot be perfect. None of us are perfect. We certainly cannot do perfect. What Jesus is saying is that He wants us to be perfect or complete or whole. He wants us to be people who lack nothing. He doesn't say do perfect. He says be perfect. He says, let me pick up the pieces. Let me take the lump of clay. Let me mold you and shape you and make you new so that you have something to offer, so that you have something to give. And check it out, for those relationships that are still laying in pieces behind you, God calls you to reconciliation. God wants to put those relationships back together so that you can be whole. God wants to make us whole. And God will lead us to forgiveness and reconciliation in order to make us whole. And I know, some of you have been hurt real bad. And God wants you to forgive so that you can be whole. And God wants you to learn to love so that you can be whole. See, God is in the business of reconciling. God is in the business of reclaiming and reforming what is broken. He's into reclaiming and reforming what is broken and lost and taking it and molding and making it into something that is loving and whole. And God wants to teach us to love even those we hate. And God wants to take what is broken and torn apart relationally, and He wants to form them into something that is new and whole. And He makes them something that is able to contain the light of His love. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we now have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. And that makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. As we continue to do the experiment, and as we make ourselves willing, let's see how God takes us and molds us and forms us into people who can actually really love. Would you pray with me? God, our desire, our prayer today is that we would remain in Your love. We want to remain in the love of Jesus. And God, we know that that requires a choice on our part. It requires willingness on our part. God, a willingness to respond to your promptings. God, not just when our alarm goes off, but throughout the day when you put people in front of us. And God, when we look into another person's eyes, when we listen to another person speak, we want to respond with your love because we've remained in your love. So God, we offer ourselves to you today. Take us today. God, take our lump of clay, mold us, shape us, reform us, reclaim us. Make us something new. Make us vessels, God, that the light of your love could shine through. And we pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.